Those songs fit tonight about what we're about to preach on, if the Lord allows us to preach. And I appreciate God giving me the opportunity to stand once again to preach this perfect word. Amen. If you have your Holy Bibles with you tonight, that's your King James Bible. I'd like for you to stand with me just for a reading, a portion of Scripture in 2 Timothy, please. The epistle to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, please. This is one of the three pastoral epistles that was written. Of course, it's written by the Holy Ghost, but Paul was the one who penned it down. And these are epistles that were written to pastors on how that the church is supposed to behave and how that the church is supposed to be run. Amen. And we find out in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, this is what God's Word says. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he might please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I'm going to ask one of my dearest friends, one of my lifelong preacher friends, Brother Jack, if you'd lead us in prayer tonight, Jack.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, as we look at this, the Bible gives Christians many different titles. Paul told us as believers that we're to walk by faith, or we're to be walked by the Spirit. As athletes, we're to run a race that God placed before us. And as soldiers, we're to stand and fight. Amen. Now I want to preach on the subject tonight, on the three soldiers that's in God's army. First of all, there are seven commands Paul gives in this epistle, in this one chapter. In verse 1 he says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ." May I say tonight that only somebody that has experienced the grace of God can ever learn how to be gracious to somebody else? The grace of God, friend of mine, is the unmerited favor of God toward us. We didn't deserve it. We can't earn it. We didn't work for it. But God gave it to us in spite of us. Amen. And only somebody, friend of mine, that has received or experienced God's grace can be gracious to somebody else. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was full of grace and that He was full of truth. I know a lot of Baptists that are talking about grace, but I see very few today that are gracious like we should be to lost people and to other people that come our way in our lives. I mean, we should display the grace of God in truth in our lives. Amen. Paul said, "Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," is what he gives, his first command. He says, "Commit truth to faithful men." We don't send men out and put hands on people that do not handle the Word of God or cannot find their Bible. We've got people today that claim to be preachers and cannot even find their Bibles today. And when I talk about Bibles, I'm talking about the King James, Holy Ghost, inspired, inerrant Word of God. Amen. That's the Bible I'm talking about. The Bible, Paul tells us, the third command that He gives us. He says to endure hardness. And this is the thing that I'll be preaching on here with the Lord being my helper. He says in verse 4, He says to be not entangled again with the affairs of this life. Verse number 5, He tells us in verse number 5 to be lawful so that we can win a crown that's before us. God wants to reward us, friend of mine, if we're faithful in the things that He's given us to do. And then in verse number 7, Paul says, consider what I say is to be the truth here tonight. Consider what is being said is being truth from God. And in verse number 7, he says, remember Christ's resurrection and use it as the chief theme when you preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But may I say to you tonight, in verse number 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to define to you tonight, according to what Webster's and some of the others have said, what a soldier is. First of all, what is a soldier? A soldier is somebody who's enlisted. It's a personnel, male or female, that has enlisted and given themselves and signed their lives over to the armed forces of their country that they are part of. A soldier is somebody who is trained to fight. I had the privilege to serve my country. I'm a veteran. My wife is a veteran. My dad's a veteran. Her dad was a veteran, buried in Arlington with all honorable rights. So I come from a long patriotic persons. In fact, I was so patriotic, you've heard me say it again, and it's worth saying again, when my dad whipped me, I was patriotic about that. My dad was patriotic when he whipped me. He used to lay the stripes on and I used to see the stars. Amen. But may I say to you that works. Because my dad loved me. My dad corrected me. My dad, friend of mine, was a good soldier in God's army. And being a good parent, friend of mine, oftentimes doesn't mean, friend of mine, that it's pie in the sky or that we brush things under the rug, so to speak. It has to be dealt with in our children and our grandchildren's life. And if we love our children, we will certainly correct them as good soldiers. May I say to you, a soldier's trained to fight. I had the opportunity, I was an expert on a 60, which is a small lightweight machine gun. And a 60 required two people to operate it, one to fire, to lay down the line of fire, and the one friend of mine, that one also to change the barrels out when those things got too hot to change out if you were in combat. But may I say, friend of mine, they trained us to use that thing in the most effective way, and that way was to take an enemy out. And may I say, friend of mine, if there's ever a time in our life, friend of mine, and one of the qualifications for you to graduate or to understand what it meant, it was to take that weapon apart in the dark and put it back together in the dark and make it functionable, or you couldn't pass the test. You had to do it in the complete dark. Your M16, and if you was on a 60 team, you had to do the main function on an M60 as the same thing. You had to take it apart in the dark and put it back together in the dark. In church tonight, certainly we're living in some dark times. Certainly we ought to be able to take the Word of God, the weapon that God has given us, and rightly divide it, friend of mine, with the time that it needs. Certainly we ought to study the Bible to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You're never, friend of mine, going to be able to have very much success in combat or very much success in being a soldier till you get familiar with the weapon that God has given us. And God has given us a perfect weapon, friend of mine, that can defeat all enemy, can defeat all foes, and can help us in instructions, friend of mine, as we go along as soldiers. And it is the word of God. The Word of God oftentimes is thrust aside. The Word of God is the most precious book to me in my entire life. For the Word of God itself is the reason I'm here. I was born again by hearing a part of the Word of God. And the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God will get the job done. All I did in jail today was stand up as a clean vessel and I preached the Word of God, and God manifested Himself by saying, what that man is telling you is true. And what that man is saying to you is right. And the Holy Ghost always honors the Word in a clean vessel. Amen. It's our job to stay clean. It's our job to stay right with God. It's our job to stay in line and in ranks with God. There's so many people today, a friend of mine, Christians, are being defeated today, left and right. Talked to a preacher today, was in a ministry for years, and he's fixing to face big time for something that he did. And it perhaps it could happen to all of us. And I'll tell you how this message became about in my life. Yesterday, I was in Commerce at Atlanta Dragway, and I was at the drag strip with one of my grandchildren. And I was there with one of my son-in-laws. And my grandson was over in Tony Schumacher's pit. And Tony Schumacher's a Christian who runs the Army car. And he gave my grandson a little dog tag. And I didn't think anything about it. Kingston was wearing it, and I started flipping around on my finger because I didn't want him to lose it. And but I turned on the back of the dog tag, and it said on the back of the dog tag, sure as I'm standing here, a soldier never quits. God pricked my heart just with that saying right there, and I got to thinking about a friend of mine, how easy it is for people to quit, and how easy it would be for me to quit than it would be to stay in the fight. And how convenient it would be for us to quit. But you know something, friend of mine? There's a lot of people that have tried quitting God, but it's hard to quit somebody that said He would never quit you. It's hard to get away from somebody that said He would never leave you. If God's on the inside of you, friend of mine, you can't get far enough away from Him not to bother you. Hey, does God ever bother you? Aren't you glad God bothers you? Aren't you glad God wakes you up in the middle of the night sometimes and reminds you about something you did in the day, and you soak your pillow with tears and you make things right with God, the Commander-in-Chief? Aren't you glad that God, friend of mine, don't leave us to ourselves and leave us alone and allow us to do what we want to do in this thing called being a soldier? A soldier is somebody who's trained to fight. A soldier is somebody who can stand in hard times and face hard times and still come out victorious. I remember I was a soldier. And we were digging foxholes. And it was raining. It was pouring down rain, brother. I mean, it was raining the big drops. And we were in the ponchos and we were digging this thing. And our first sergeant, I remember him walking by. And this is what he said. Remember, Private, it doesn't rain in the Army. It rains on the Army. And I just started sobbing. I just about started crying. I said, what have I got myself into? I remember telling my dad, every time he seen me, he was telling me and asking me, did you take the trash out? The guy was a trash fanatic. Every time he saw me, he was telling me to take the trash out. You know, one day, Brother Jack, I got tired of my old daddy's ways. And you know what I did? I did one of the stupidest things probably I ever did in my life. I said, I'm going down and I'm joining the Army. You know what my dad said? Hallelujah. You won't believe how God's got a sense of humor. In Fort Jackson, South Carolina on Tank Hill, you won't believe how I was woke up the first morning. I was sleeping in my bunk, having dreams about marshmallows, you know. And there was a drill sergeant standing over my bunk with a trash can. And he was beating the bottom of that trash can with a scrub brush, telling me to get up and get out of the bunk. And here, as an 18-year-old boy, as a man I was supposed to be, I didn't want to follow a few rules around another soldier that had rank over me. And I said, well, I'm going to go to a place where they'll make me do it. That's how crazy it is when you try to do it your way instead of following the orders that God's placed in our lives. This Bible, friend of mine, is full of instructions. And they're basic instructions. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Instructions to get you from here to heaven. Instructions on how to live our lives. Instructions how to dress. All the things that goes on is found in the Word of God that we need to know. Everything we need to know is found in the instructions of this book, and it has come to us from a commander-in-chief that when we got saved, we said our allegiance is to Him. This is shocking. I heard this the other day. A 14-year-old girl asked a Sunday school teacher in a Sunday school class down at the Fundamental Baptist Church, "How can I be saved and still please to have my way?" That's shocking thinking, isn't it? Well, the answer to that is you can't be saved and pleased to have your way. As a Christian, it's not your job to please to have your way. As a Christian, your job is to please the Lord. Well, it gets quiet when we preach like this, doesn't it? Sound like a turkey farm on Thanksgiving Eve, doesn't it? Amen. Did you know, friend of mine, that it's pleasing to God to follow His instructions that are basic? It's pleasing to God, friend of mine, to realize that God puts people in your life that outrank you as far as, friend of mine, them knowing the walk with God, the order of God. And He puts people in our way with gray hair on our head a lot of times, friend of mine, so that we don't fall down the pits and the snares that the enemy has got set up for us in life to destroy us. And I say there's three things that I want us to see about in every army. The first thing that I want you to see about, friend of mine, is there's a military term called AWOL. Brother Jack even prayed about it a while ago. And that just confirms that God is on this message and God has laid this message on my heart. AWOL, who's ever heard of that term? It means absent without leave. I remember when they gave me shots to leave this country as a soldier. I remember being at the airport and they was MPs there at the airport. And when you went in and you got in line, these MPs were subject to come up to you. They're military police. And what they would do, they would ask you, first of all, let me see your ID, your military ID. Let me see your dog tags. Show them in. Then they would say the most important thing. They would say, let me see your orders. And they looked at your orders, and if your orders didn't say that you were to be standing there in that line, they immediately arrested you and carried you back to headquarters to find out what was going on, friend of mine. And I'm here to tell you tonight, church, these are your orders. These seven commands that Paul gave you tonight are not suggestions that you need to hold hands and pray about. These are orders and these are imperatives that are given to us, friend of mine, from God to you and I on how we ought to conduct our lives as soldiers. I got to looking at some people in the Bible when Paul was talking about this, because Paul was let down by several men in the Bible. And one of those men is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. His name is Demas. The Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And the reason Demas left Paul was because hard times came to Paul and Luke and Marcus and many of the others in Philippi in prisons. And they started putting these men in prisons for standing on the truth of God and preaching the Word of God. Paul got to go to prison for doing what's right. How many people can say that today, that they got to go to prison for doing what's right? But Paul and Demas and all that started, Demas started out great. But when the pressure got put on, when hard times came into his life, Demas saw that it was easier to quit, and he forsook Paul because he loved this present world. You know what it means to love this world? It means to love the system of it. It means that the devil is the god, the little g, of this world. And it means he's got a system here set up, and for some unknown reason, God allows it. For the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. There's a system down here in this world, friend of mine, that people are attracted to because the natural man just loves, friend of mine, the darkness of this world. I remember when I was an old drunk, and back in my hippie days, I didn't go to places that were lit up. I went to places that were dark and smoky filled, because darkness just simply accepts darkness. Darkness, a friend of mine likes darkness, but light loves light. But I'm here to say there's no room for that in a Christian's life tonight. Hey, there's no reason for us to love this present world when this world is passing away and the lust thereof. So the Bible instructs us and tells us in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, what happened to Demas is could be very well what happens to you and me. We can go AWOL. We can be absent without leave. We can be operating under somebody else's orders and instructions tonight, friend of mine. And it's good that you're in church tonight. I'm not preaching to the people that are not here. I'm preaching to the people that are here tonight. And I'm warning you in love and in truth tonight to tell you, friend of mine, that you need to follow the instructions that are found in this Bible, and you need to obey them to the letter, friend of mine, that God has given them to you. And that way you won't have to worry about falling in love with the garbage of this world. Brother Jack knows, and some of y'all know, been around in this a while. Some better preachers than I'll ever be, Brother Warren, has found it better to quit because of the love and the attraction of this world. I found out a long time ago when God saved me that I was no longer part of this world. And I was a pilgrim passing through, Jack, after that great night at Montgomery Memorial Baptist Church at 56 Dunlap Street in the Gainesville Mill of Gainesville. When I couldn't get to God, Brother Warren, God came to me. You know, I didn't have to go to school to stop how to lie and stop how to drinking. I didn't have to go to school to learn all that. That just fell off me like waters on a dock's back because somebody moved in and somebody else had to move out. Amen. I remember I was living in a wooden frame house in Sardis, and I can't explain it to you. I like shooting some basketball every night. I had a basketball hoop. Remember that basketball hoop we had, Kevin? I went outside, and I happened to be off. The next day after I got saved now, brand new babe in Christ, I shot some hoops. And all of a sudden, I heard birds singing. And I put the ball down. And I started listening to the birds sing. And I heard birds sing all my life. But it was only till when God moved in and somebody else moved out did I know who the birds were singing to. They were singing to God, the one who made them. And I got in on that, and I got happy. The very next day after I got saved, and I walked under some sweet gums, and it looked like they was clapping when I walked under them. There was a breeze that went by. And you know what it was? They were saying, we're glad you got in on what we've been in on the whole time. And I knew right then that I was a stranger and a pilgrim passing through this world, and that this world, friend of mine, would no longer accept me and love me and care for me, that only God and God's people would be true to me and love me. Why in the world would somebody from the church, why would somebody, friend of mine, who's anchored their eternal destiny in Jesus Christ, turn their back on the Commander-in-Chief and walk away from them, is a mystery to me. But it happens. It says that we're to endure hardness as a good soldier. It ain't easy digging a foxhole with rain falling on you. It ain't easy, friend of mine, being a preacher. It's not easy, friend of mine, doing a lot of things that we do in God's army. But if God's called you to do something in this army, He's equipped you to do it, and you best get at doing it, because we all need one another. Do you know the danger of going AWOL in combat? Let me explain something to you. In combat, if you go AWOL, and when the military does catch you, and they will properly feed you, properly court-martial you, and then they will properly shoot you in the field. Especially if somebody dies because you were not serving the area that the army had trained you to serve in. In other words, if you cowered out or you went AWOL, if you left what God's called you to do, other people will suffer and perhaps even die. You know how many people I've heard say in families, visiting families, well, if he's saved, then anybody gets to go to heaven. Or if she's saved, then anybody gets to go to heaven. Because, friend of mine, a lot of people today are AWOL. They are absent without leave. And when you ask them for their orders, they can't show you. Man's army will shoot you, Brother Jack. But God's army will come after you. That's why I like being in God's army. God's army won't shoot you. Mays Jackson said something in a revival meeting I'll never forget years ago. He said the independent fundamentals are the worst ones to shoot their own soldiers, and then we turn around and call it friendly fire. Well, I'll say to you, that's a true statement tonight. We'll go around and talk about somebody and run somebody down because we don't like or what they've done or whatever the case may be, friend of mine. But may I say to you tonight that God's army will go after you. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, Paul wrote this. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Listen, considering thyself, lest thy also be tempted. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying when a man has been blindsided by the devil, he didn't mean to do it, or ensnared, or entrapped by the enemy. He didn't mean to become what he is. He's not living in open, unbridled sin. We're to take the King James Bible, brother, and we're to go find him, and we're to take that Bible and give him the instructions so that he might be healed, that he might be brought back, friend of mine. Did you notice the word that Paul says? Brethren, if a man, he's talking to the brethren. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, don't do it unless you're spiritual. Don't do it unless the motive that you have in your heart, friend of mine, is purified by God, and you've got the best interest out for Him and not your own interest. Don't do it. Because see, a lot of the brethren believe this. A lot of brothers believe that Galatians 6:1 believes that when a man be overtaken in a fault, you take the Bible and cut the rest of his guts out of him and leave him there. This Bible's a double-edged sword. It cuts and it heals. It's two-edged. And may I say to you tonight, church, listen what Paul said. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore. You know what that word restore is? That's a surgeon's word. The surgeons use that word. It's a word, brother, that they take a bone that has been sticked through the flesh and the surgeon pulls it back and he resets it into place so that the man would heal proper. That's what we're to do when somebody goes AWOL. That's what we're to do, friend of mine, when somebody falls out. We're to go and to restore them. It's a true story that happened in our Southland. He was a preacher years ago, and I'll hurry on. He was saved as a drunkard. The story goes that he got in depression, and one time in weakness, he went out and got a bottle and he got drunk. Monday morning, he went in and resigned. He left his resignation on the desk, and there was four deacons in that church. Two of those deacons were spiritual, and two of them weren't. He said, I got drunk, and they said, you don't mean it. He said, I did. I did it in a moment of weakness. And two of the deacons that weren't spiritual said, we'll accept your resignation. But the two men that were spiritual said, let's sit down and talk about this minute. And what they did was, that preacher was broken. And they wept with that preacher. And they restored that man's broken life back. And the story says that he preached from that day on into that church till he died, and he never relapsed back upon God again, because there were some men enough that was spirit-filled enough to see that the problem, friend of mine, was sin and not the man. The problem, friend of mine, is sin, and we are to love, friend of mine, the sinner. Can cut through the chase right there. Oh, when was the last time you put your arms around somebody, friend of mine, that was unlovely? And you loved them. I wouldn't say that the church is failing because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But I will say this, I sure have failed the Lord in a lot of ways. And I've had brethren who has come to me and said words of kindness to me that reset things in my life that's kept me in being a soldier to this good day. I tell you, we need to realize that this thing is spiritual. That we don't fight one another. I'm not your enemy tonight. You're not my enemy. But you do have an enemy. And he is the devil. And he does got crosshairs on you. And I'm sure if you're saved, he knows who you are. And he knows who you are because you're a real threat to his kingdom. Because you have the answer that this world is dying for. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. That He was buried. And that God raised Him back the third day from the dead. And that if you believe in Him, God will save you and forgive you. Amen. Demas forsook him. Because Demas loved the present evil world. He loved it. May I say to you, the second soldier that I want you to see is even more tragic than the first. He's a POW. POW is a prisoner of war. You know, a prisoner of war, you know what the army told me? They, we ran every day, 5-7 miles a day, rain or shine, we ran. You know why? Because they said we would rather have you run away from a battle than to get caught by the enemy. It's better for you to get up and run if you gotta run than it is to get caught by somebody, friend of mine, that won't take care of you. May I remind you of a man in the Bible by the name of Samson who went down to Gaza and went down there to the enemy? You see, a lot of Christians don't realize how powerful the devil is, friend of mine. You get fooling around with the devil and his crowd and they'll suck you in and then they'll use you up and they'll not have no use for you when they're done with you. You'll lose your influence. You'll lose your testimony. The devil's not after your soul. If you're saved, he can't get your soul. But he wants your influence. He wants your soul. He wants your light. He wants your testimony so that when you say something to somebody, it's not effective to them. See? Samson kept fooling around with the enemy women. He went down there to Gaza. He said to put his head in the devil's barbershop. Amen. Each time she got a little closer to the truth. First time it was the green vines that's never been dried. He broke them like threads. Second was rope that had never been used. He broke them. Third, he got a little closer. Samson said, if you put my hair in locks, and she put it in locks and fastened it to a beam, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he got up and pulled the beam and all down. And then finally this wicked woman got into this man's heart and into his head and said, my secret lies, for a razor has not been taken to my head. And she shaved that man's head and Samson becomes a POW. Samson is no longer a judge over Israel, but Samson is now grinding at the enemy's mill, at the enemy's will, and he cannot even see his steps in front of him, for they burnt his eyes out with babies. Sin will blind you. It'll make you not see what's really there. Sin will blind you and then sin will bind you. It'll wrap you up in something you can't get out of. And then sin will grind you. That's what Samson did. He stood at a mill that an oxen and an ass ground at, and he became that animal as they made sport of him. A POW, if you think the enemy is going to take care of any of you tonight, have you ever saw the footage of those POWs that come out of World War II camps? They were walking skeletons because they did not provide them food. They did not provide them water. They did not provide them adequate shelter. And I'm telling you that a POW, a friend of mine, is a sad case. It's a sad state to have to fall into an enemy's camp and become under the influence of an enemy. But the good news is, friend of mine, you don't have to stay there. The good news is that there's a captain of the soul of your salvation who can able, friend of mine, and empower you to get up and walk right out of that cage, right back into God's army, and stay faithful to God from that moment on, friend of mine, when you decide to repent of your sins and turn from what's kept you there to get you out. But that's the only way out, is to turn from it. Paul said, I bring under subjection my body. Because when I preach to others, Brother Warren, Paul was saying, I don't want to be a castaway myself. I don't want to have to go to jail and preach to people in jail and then turn around and have somebody up there preach to me in jail. Unless they lock me up for preaching the gospel, that'll be fine. And you know there may come a time to that, church. If there's ever a time to fight, it's now. We got a president now up there that's wanting to tell us what bathroom to use. We got a president up there now that wants to tell us, friend of mine, what we can and cannot do. It'll be happy days when that guy leaves. Amen. I just had to get that out. I feel better now. Amen. That wasn't in my 3-point outline, but I threw that in for good measure. Amen. Now, I prayed for President Obama. I prayed for his soul to get saved. But any man that has sat there and say that, friend of mine, homosexuality is right, is wrong. And anybody that goes along with that is a POW. And anybody that goes along with that is AWOL. They're absent of brains. Amen. And may I say to you tonight, friend of mine, I'll go a little bit further than that. The infidels and the people that are leading this country right now need to get saved by the grace of God. What they need is a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven-sent dose of salvation. Amen. And that will change the course of our nation. And in the meantime, we got infidels, and every infidel that I've ever ran into is in for hell until they get saved. I'm not running a popularity contest tonight. I don't care if you like it or not. You shake my hand at the door. Amen. I'm here to tell you it needs to be said, and there's a time to say it. And we need to stand up on our 2 feet and fight and quit sitting there like knots on the logs with hair growing out of it. Amen. May I say, listen, there's a time to fight, and there's a time now when they're telling you that your daughters have to go in showers with boys. Don't you think it's time to stand up and fight? Amen. Well, I hope Obama's listening tonight. Amen. He needs to get saved. He needs to get a good dose of Holy Ghost salvation. Because look up here. Look up here. Homosexuality is a sin. It's an abomination against God. Somebody told me, said, Brother Mitchell, you preach on that a lot up there in prison. I was at Walker State Prison preaching on that one time. One of them guys came up to me. Don't you think he was a little harsh on that? Don't you think that you should go over to sodomy and preach to the sodomites? I said, I'm preaching the gospel. Who's ever here? But I'll tell you what, the problem with that is God didn't send preachers to sodomy. God sent two angels down there and burned the place up. That's the problem with that. Amen. Listen, I'm not to conform to this. I'm going to stand up and fight. Are you with me? I am. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight. The Bible says, earnestly contend for the faith. What is that? Stand up and fight.
Don't give up.
Don't shut up.
Don't back up.
Why, the early church of Acts, they took whips and beat us so we'd shut up about Jesus. We got to take whips and beat some of you to get something, say something about Jesus out of you. It's the right opposite now. And it ought to be the very best day of your life is today, because these are dark times that we're in, and it only takes a little light to expose the great darkness. Hell's a popping. Sometimes I can almost hear it popping when I'm preaching. It's popping. While I've been preaching, people have died all over this world. Their heart has stopped from now on, and they found out two things. What Jesus said about heaven was true, and what Jesus said about hell was equally true. They found that out tonight while I've been preaching all over the world. And they found it out forever. It never ends. You got loved ones, you better fight for the soul. You got children, you better fight. You better get on your knees and do some war. And get in the war room and do some battle, friend of mine. You got neighbors that are lost? Oh, beloved. Warn them, tell them, love them. Fight for them. Get in the thing and fight. Be a soldier. God's called you to be a soldier. Lastly, I saved the good, the best for last. They are POWs. They are AWOL people. But Brother Warren, they are active soldiers around us today. Love y'all's family. You get up there and play. I'm telling you, that's the works of God. That's what God wants you to do, brother. You do it great. Your family does it well. It blesses my heart every time I see it. You ask my wife, I'm not just saying this. I brag on you. We brag on you when we go home. When you all sing, you all lift us up. You bless our heart. And look, whatever God is calling you to do, that's the part of your soldiering that God wants done. And if you don't do it, there's casualties. There's other people going to be affected when you're not here. When you're not fulfilling your role. When you're not standing in ranks at attention. What will my captain have me to do? A soldier is somebody who's learned to follow and to take orders. Amen. You still with me? Don't change the channel. You're on the right channel. Leave it right there just a minute. Amen. May I say to you, there's an active soldier in the Bible. His name's Uriah. How many of you ever heard of Uriah? He's a Hittite. And it goes back to being AWOL again. There's a king by the name of David, and I'm very seldom beat up on David, because David's life, for the most part of David's life, he did serve God and love God. And he's a man in the Bible after God's own heart. But there was a time in David's life, like there is in our life, where we get cold maybe in our soldiering. And David was supposed to be in battle with his men, but the Bible said he resigned back in Jerusalem. He stayed there away from the battle. And he got up out of bed one night, and he looked over his rooftop, and he saw another man's wife by the name of Bathsheba. And he inquired of this woman who was married to Uriah the Hittite. Now, Uriah the Hittite was in the battle, a friend of mine, with Israel at that time. And may I say to you, David committed adultery with her, and she conceived, and she told David, and so David come up with a plan. And David's plan was, what I'll do is I'll bring Uriah in, he'll go home, he'll stay with his wife, and I'll be covered. Boy, it's hard to outfox God, isn't it? You'll never be able to fool God. God had other plans. So you know what Uriah did as a good soldier? He slept at the king's door because he was there to guard the king. He was following the king's commandments. And David said, you mean you didn't go home? He said, no, how can I go home? The Ark of the Covenant's in battle. Israel's in battle. Am I any better than they are? I'm a soldier. I'm going to stay right here where I'm supposed to stay. I'm going to fight.
David said, uh-oh, that didn't work. So David said, you stay right here till tomorrow. David got him into his house, filled him with wine, got the man drunk, thinking that those emotions would be stirred up and he would go home and lay with his wife and his problems would be solved. And yet Uriah stayed in the tent with his men there that night. And so David said, what I'll do is I'll send him to the hottest part of the battle and I'll pull back the infantry man and Uriah be killed in that battle. This is all a result of a man in God's army who went AWOL. He was absent without leave. David was absent without leave. David became a POW. He was trapped with his own sin. Adultery meant death to the king as well as anybody else. And David sat on his throne and his Bible said his bones waxed old every day. And then walked in that old pesky preacher by the name of Nathan. Nathan said, I got a little story I want to tell you. There was a man in your kingdom. There was two of them. One was rich, one was poor. One of them had a little ewe lamb. He raised it from stuck. He even ate the meat off his table. But that rich man came and stole that man's lamb and ate it and had a party with it. David, that red-headed, red-faced, he was a ruddy man. I can see him now pounding that friend of mine, that Sepco on the ground. Where is that man in my kingdom? The man that does that, he will surely die. And Nathan's the bravest man in Scriptures. Nathan pointing his finger at David and said, thou art the man. And all David had to do was raise his little pinky and Nathan would never have been heard of again. But because David was God's man, David said, I'm that man. God's men and God's soldiers will always come to grip with the truth and the reality of who they are in Christ. Uriah died as an active soldier. He stayed in the thing. Even the king, not knowing he was his own enemy, he stayed in there serving David. I'll never forget when the Lord showed me something about David and several things about it, but one of them was David was in a hot battle. And he said, oh, that I had the drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. And two men in his unit heard that request and it was just a wish. And those men low crawled because Bethlehem was under siege. They low crawled through the battle lines, Jack, and around the enemy. And they drew water out of that well. And they brought it back to David. And David said, what's this? He said, this is the well of water of Bethlehem that you drank from a boy. David said, you mean you risked your life to get it? They said, yes. David said, well, I can't drink that. And he poured it out as a drink offering back to God. But here's my point. David's soldiers treated David's wish as though it was a command. And Jesus' commands are treated as though they are wishes. God is going to judge the Christians not for their sins, but for their works and their soldiering in this life. And the reason a lot of us are mixed up today is we're not being true to our calling. We got evangelists that are trying to pastor and pastors that are evangelists. And we have a lot of things going on today, but we better be true to who we are. You're a Christian. That means something. You're in the body of Christ. That means something. You're a soldier in God's army. That means something. It does not mean to do what you want and get what you want and live the way you want. There are free soldiers in every army. There are POWs. There's prisoner of wars. And there's active soldiers. I'm glad tonight that you're active to come to church. Amen. But coming to church, if that solved all the problems, boy, we would have a whole lot less problems in America if just coming to church would solve the problems. And I say coming to church is being faithful. That's great. That's wonderful. Being faithful to the house of God, that's great. A servant must be found first faithful. Amen. And then we must be true to what God's calling us to do. Even a doorman in the house of God, if he's doing it, and God's called him to do it, and that's his part, will earn the same reward as any preacher, any evangelist, any Sunday school teacher, anybody else that's handled the Word of God. Because he's being true to his calling. The Bible says that our calling is a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. A holy calling from God means that there's a holy purpose set aside for each of our lives in the body of Christ. Maybe tonight God has been speaking to your heart about something in a personal level that you've been wanting to do for God. Don't be ashamed to tell the church. These are the kind of people, we're the kind of people that'll help you. Amen. We're the kind of people, friend of mine, that'll back you. We've got enough sense to know that God calls people and puts people in positions to edify the body of Christ. Amen. Are you saved tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. I don't know. Don't know your heart. Wouldn't judge if I could, Paul said, to examine your own selves. I've examined myself. See if you're in the faith. Examine yourself. See if your faith is following the orders of God. See if works follow those orders. I don't know whatever it is tonight, but I know this much, and I'm through. Whatever it is, Jesus Christ will equip you to do whatever He has called you to do. I know that. Amen. Brother Terry, come sing a song tonight. Whatever you got.